Well, I'm going to say a word or two now about that reading that we had a moment ago. But before I do that, or as part of what I do, I've got some questions, particularly for the young people sitting sort of in the front half of the church. Have a look at these pictures. Okay, have a good look. There's one. Here's the next one. I want you, when you're looking at these pictures, to answer the question, what do they all have in common? Alright? What do they have in common? So, it could be something to do with animals. Might not be. Let's see. What's the next one? Ah. That is a men's football team, in case there was any doubt. It's a men's football team. All right, have a think about what they're doing. And look at the cover of this book by D.M. Nicholas, Where's the Rest? Okay, so what do they all have in common? Anyone got any ideas? You have. I have to just come and see. I don't know that this is going to stretch to you, so you'll just have to shout out. They're all to do with resting. You're a very clever person, aren't you? Well done. Exactly. They're all to do with resting. So you saw a cat and I can't remember what sort of animal. Was it a leopard or something? Lion, right. Resting. And yeah, what did you think? The human football team. Well, what do you think they were doing? Right, thank you very much indeed. I didn't quite hear all of that, but the general idea is that all of these things are to do with rest, because even when you're having a break from something, you might be very active, mightn't you? Like the football team doing swimming, you might be very active, but it's still a good break. It's a good rest. And people say a break is as good as a rest, don't they? So those are resting. And the cover of that book, well, that was a different sort of rest, wasn't it? It wasn't about lying down and having a snooze or having a break. It was saying, where's the rest? Because that's another way we use the word. So, there we go. That's the word rest. And that is what the bit of the Bible we were reading earlier was all about. Now, I want you to tell me what sort of rest the people in these pictures were having. So that was a picture from London's West End. Okay. This is a picture from the First World War. It looks very modern, doesn't it? Because it's been specially enhanced and coloured. There's another one. And another one. So, what rest are we talking about with those pictures? Anybody else that's not volunteered yet? Yes? Sorry, say it again. Can you shout out?
They're all resting.
They're all resting. Well, they are all resting, but there's a special sort of rest that we're celebrating today. Yes? Resting from fighting. That's right, they're resting from fighting. And what we're particularly celebrating today is that it's 100 years since the fighting in the First World War stopped. And as a result, you can say that people were resting. And the reason we say they were resting was because peace was achieved, the armistice was signed, peace was achieved, and as a result, people didn't have to fight anymore. They could get on with doing positive things. Now, I do like the way these old First World War pictures have been coloured. Here's one that I picked up that showed what one side would have looked like if it hadn't been coloured and what the other side looked like when it had been. And you can see how it sort of comes out sort of very, very much connected to us today, doesn't it, when it's in full colour. So that was one side, and just to be fair, I'm showing, well, you can't really quite see it, but the other side's been coloured as well. So there we go. The First World War. 100 years ago it stopped, but actually it looks as though it was yesterday when you see some of those pictures. Now, the reason I've started like that is because coming to an end of war is one way in which the Bible talks about rest. There are a number of ways in which it talks about it. So in our reading, what we heard was that God rested on the seventh day after he made the world. Now, we don't know how God made the world, but the Bible tells us that he's responsible, and he rested when he'd completed it. That didn't mean he stopped work. It means that he'd completed everything, and it was all working just great. And as a result, people could enjoy it. And that was their rest, a bit like the football team enjoying swimming. They could get on with things, but it was very positive. So that was the first seventh day we read about it. And then we read about the ancient people of God, because the passage started by talking about them. You know, we've had this just as they did. It's looking back to some people. And the person that the writer is looking, the people that the writer is looking back to are people who were following God, oh, hundreds of years before Jesus ever came into the world. And God had promised them a land of their own. He was going to free them from slavery, bring them out from that, and take them to a land of their own. But, you know, we're told in this passage they failed to enter God's rest. Because coming to that land, oh, they'd have lots to do when they got there, but it was going to be a rest from all of the, oh, the horror that they'd had to suffer up till then, all the slavery and all the things that had gone wrong. And they didn't really trust God, so they thought, no, we're too frightened to go in. And as a result of their disobedience, they didn't enter God's rest. That's what this passage says. They didn't enter God's rest because they didn't really trust his promises. When they eventually made up their mind, many years later, to go in, well, even then, they didn't really have rest, because they had to get rid of lots of opposition while they were there, until finally they could be said to have had rest. But they never really achieved it, because they never fully trusted God, and therefore they never fully enjoyed everything that he'd got for them. So the ancient people of God failed to enter God's rest, we're told in verse 5 of our reading. And then finally, we're told in verse 9 that a final rest still remains for the people of God. In other words, God has made a promise to us that one day we will be able to enjoy life as he intended it to be. It will be active, but it will be a rest from all of the things that irk us now. So, what are some of the things that irk you? I've put some things up on the screen here. What's happening on the top right-hand side? What's happening? Yes. Yeah, they're arguing. A couple of people having a row. That's right. What's underneath it? Why do you think I put that up? Yeah. Yeah, someone's pushing a rock, but it looks impossible, doesn't it? It looks impossible. And so one of the things that, you know, we might want rest from is the impossible things that we find we're having to do in life. And then what about that one, that big picture? What do you think that's showing? Yes. It is showing a man holding a knife, pointing at someone. So all the violence that affects us. Outside my house the other day, where I live, the police cordoned it all off. Because just down the road, six men had been stabbed in a fight between gangs. And they'd thrown some of their weapons somewhere near my garden, apparently. So my wife said, I've never felt so safe, because we were guarded by police all night. But, you know, that sort of violence is a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing for society to have to experience. Wouldn't it be great to get a rest from all of those things. Here's something else. Who here, there's a girl who's looking at a magazine and wondering if she matches up to the pictures in it. Do you think that people worry about what others will think of them? Do you think that's one of the things that happens today? It does for some people. And the great thing is that we can get rest from that as well. Because God has promised us that when we enter his rest, we are going to be made perfectly like Jesus Christ himself. We won't have to ever compare ourselves with anyone ever again. It's wonderful. Entering God's rest. He's made a promise that's available to everybody if we simply hold out our hand and say, yes, me too. And that means holding out our hand to Jesus, because he's the only one who enables us to enter God's rest. So, verse 7, don't harden your hearts like the old people of God did. They refused to believe God's promises. And the writer says, don't you do that. Don't say, oh no, I can't believe it, it's not true. Instead, finish up where our passage did. Finish up by looking at the Word of God. The Word of God will show you what you're like, and therefore how much you need Jesus, how much I need Jesus. But at the same time, it will also show us what the basis is, what the evidence is for believing God's promise. So that's our Bible talk today, thinking about God's rest. 100 years ago, a terrible, terrible conflict came to an end, and people were able to start planning positively for the future because they had rest. It's a wonderful thing. It doesn't mean snoozing and inactivity. It means living life the way God intended it. And it's available for everybody through Jesus. Amen.